everybody for coming. It's really an incredible thing what is going on today, and I really hope, Emir Tzashem, that you gain as much as I do, I have so far from the morning. I wanted to talk about a phenomenon that I've never spoken about in public, and I thought this would be a good time to do it. There is no question that texting is here, and there is no question that texting has impacted the relationships between boys and girls, between parents and children, between teachers and students. Any relationship that exists between two people or more has been impacted by texting. Technology today is vastly different than it was when I see that the room is a little bit mixed in age-wise. So I was going to say vastly different than when we were children. The smartphone that you have in your pocket, that I also do, is 15 times more powerful in your pocket. Is 15 times more powerful than the fastest computers 30 years ago. The computers that were used to send man to the moon were slower by a lot than the phone in your pocket. And it's incredible how much this phone has changed our lives. And we could spend, without exaggeration, a day, just a conference on the phone, and how much it has changed our lives, religiously, spiritually. I want to talk about it, I guess, in terms of relationships. Let me just start by saying what this sicha, or this talk, is not about. This talk is not about things that you are, about texting when you're supposed to be doing something else. This is not a talk about texting while driving. That's Asur Min HaTorah, and that would be a very short shiur. It is not about texting while you're supposed to be talking to your children or to your boyfriend or to your parents. That's probably also Asur. So that would also be about 3 minutes. This really is a sicha, a discussion really about the way in which immediate, quick texts have changed the ways relationships have developed between, again, boys and girls, parents, children, teacher, students, the way the relationships develop, maintain, and beyond. There was a study that was done last year, and it's incredible how 81%, this is adults, 81% of the people who had cell phones a year ago used them to send or receive texts, and it goes on. It's by far the most used piece, or the most used function of our phones. I find it fascinating that they didn't ask whether you speak on your phone, you talk on your phone. The first thing for sure is 81% of, you know, send or receive text, and the number goes way higher when we talk about children, youth. So, is texting good? Is texting bad? How has it impacted our relationships? And what can we do about it? I have a suggestion, I have an idea that I wanted to share with you. As I mentioned, I've never shared this in public, and I can't say that. I did practice it in seminary this past year, but I never shared it in the United States. And I would love to hear feedback on whether what I said is true, partially true, somewhat true, and whether it can help us, whether this talk and this discussion can help us in the way we interact and relate to the people that we love and that are close with. A little background. Again, those of you in the room who are closer to my age will remember what communication was like, I say yesterday. It feels like yesterday, but it wasn't so much like yesterday. For example, spending a year in Israel. I am the menahel of a girls' school in Israel, and I see the connection and the relationship that girls have with their parents today compared to what we had X number of years ago. I'm embarrassed. I went to Israel in 1985. So some of you are younger, some of you are older, but in 1985, we stood in line for the payphone. I went to Shalavim, great school. There was one payphone for 200 guys. Some of you will recognize the blue envelopes, the aerograms. There are many of you in this room who have no idea what this is down here. But those of you who do know, yeah, When we say the Asimon has fell, it's only people who know what an Asimon is to know that it actually fell. We connected to our parents. I spoke to my family once every 2 weeks at an appointed time, and I was considered speaking a little bit more than usual, more than other people. Some people went a month without speaking to their parents. It was very expensive. You had to pre-plan a call ahead of time. If somebody called you when it was unscheduled, either Mirtzah Hashem, somebody got engaged, or Chas V'Shalom, bad news. There was no impromptu speaking. It also meant that we wrote letters. I know those of you who are in the younger generation have heard this 100 times. Oh, letters, letters, letters. Letters were a way to communicate, of course. Very few people that I know of write letters today. I have a brother-in-law who is a successful professional, has the latest smartphone in his pocket, and yet when we made Aliyah, his sister's my wife, when we made Aliyah, he used to write us letters, and we used to get the letters in the mail, and we used to save them. Not open them right away, he used to save them and really treasure them. He would write 10 more emails, but the letters said something and did something. That's just the way we connected to our parents in Israel. The way we connected to our relationship to our spouses and future spouses was also a completely different story. If you met a girl, for example, and you wanted to speak with her, so you got her phone number. You also got the same phone number as her 3 roommates, because they all shared one phone. And when you called, there was no cordless phones, not in the early days. So they used to get from Radio Shack these 20-foot, extension cords, and you have to call them. And of course, if the roommate answers the phone, oh, is this David? It's David on the phone. And everyone knew. And she would take the phone with the 20-foot extension cord and go into the closet or go into the stairwell and try her best. Right? Am I familiar? Nods. A guy could also call if you happened to date somebody who wasn't in college but living with her parents. Oh boy. Hello, Mrs. Schwartz. Yes, hi, this is David. It's David on the phone. This time it's the mother, not the roommate. And that was hard, admittedly. But after a date, the relationship took a little bit of a pause. Maybe it was for half a day, maybe it was a day. But people thought about how it went. People had a chance to contemplate whether it went well, not well. The first thing that came to mind was not, I need to connect with him or to her. There was a lot of time in between. Absolutely, there were disadvantages. I don't think there's a single person in this room who would prefer to get rid of cell phones and to get rid of texting. But there was a days of yore, there were some positive things that came out of it. Again, experiences in Israel, experiences in dating, and there's more talk about that in a moment. But I'm gonna come back to this in a second. That is yesterday. Today, as I mentioned, there's texting, there's WhatsApp, there's everything you can think of, immediate, instant, no thinking necessarily, connection. And I would use this connection, I would say this connection in quotes, the word connection in quotes. We will see whether people really are connected, and we're going to talk about whether it's a positive thing or a negative thing. We're going to say that it's both, and it's really going to be dependent on how you use it, and we're going to maybe perhaps give some examples. There are, I think it will be helpful, in order to help us understand whether texting helps or doesn't help relationships and how it is impacted, I think it's important to categorize different kinds of texts. Texting is a form of communication. And there is many, many forms of communication, many ways to categorize communication. There's verbal communication and nonverbal communication. In organizations, there's downward communication and upward communication. There's formal communication and informal communication. I would like to suggest that in texting, specifically texting, although we'll see it really relates to all kinds of conversations, there are 3 kinds of conversations in texts. And we will see whether this definition or the categorizing texting will help us as spouses, parents, children, people who date other people. Let's see if this helps. So I would like to suggest that there are actually 3 kinds of texts. And again, I welcome feedback if there is a 4th kind or if I'm not clear enough. But I think that if we categorize the texting into 3 kinds, it'll help us with our discussion and will help us with our education. The first kind of texting is what I call a text that conveys information. A text that conveys information usually are very brief. They're very quick, quick response time. I text, you text back, and it's really intended to convey information. This doesn't only exist in texting, it exists in Torah as well. For example, the way the Kohen Gadol, or the Melech, used to use the Urim Betumim was not necessarily a way to create a relationship with God. It was to gather information. Do I go to war? Do I not go to war? Another possibility, for example, is you ask a Navi. We don't have that nowadays. But you remember when Shaul, when Bnei Yisrael requested a king, and Shaul was going to look for a Navi, not to create a relationship. Well, there's certainly a relationship, was created. But he was going to look for, anybody remember? What was the first thing? What was he asking a Navi? Where are my donkeys? That's a straight question and answer. Examples, we all know examples of our texting. When is your appointment? 10 a.m. Where are you? I'll be there in 5 minutes. It's very quick, very to the point, and that's one kind of texting. Texting to convey information. There's a second kind of texting. There's a second way to categorize certain kinds of texts, and that is what I call a text that conveys or expresses a connection. Not information, but connection. This is what you and I used to call a postcard. It's a postcard. I go on vacation, I'm thinking of you, and I want you to know that I'm thinking of you. I don't write a 10-page letter. I don't call you for a 2-hour conversation. I write a quick little postcard. I wish you were here. It's a way to stay connected. I'm thinking of you. I'm still in touch with you. And examples, again, abound, not only in texting, but we'll start with some Torah. The Gemara tells us in Ktuvot, Tov hamalbin shinayim lachaveiro, yoter mimashkeu chalav. It's better than feeding somebody nice, fresh, healthy milk. There's certainly a play on words here. Better than that is to show the whites of your teeth. This is a commercial for dental school, I guess. It's show the whites of your teeth. I see you and I smile. Or, of course, Havi makabel at kol adam b'sefer panim yafot. I see you and I smile. We don't have a deep, heartfelt relationship, at least in that exchange. But it's a quick, I'm thinking of you. I didn't get information from you, but I did convey to you that I'm connected to you. And these are all examples like, how are you? How are you? Or, how was your test? Now, I should clarify that when I use the word connection, I don't mean that to confuse that kind of connection with the unhealthy, that's a nicer way to say it, an unhealthy need to feel connected to the entire world. That's sort of the negative side of, let's say, a Facebook. That I need to know exactly what you're doing, and more important, you need to know what I'm doing. Doing the laundry, walking my dog, and for some reason I think that you care that I'm walking my dog. And I need to know when you're walking your dog, and you're taking a test or not taking a test. That's a whole completely different discussion. There was a beautiful shiur that I heard on YU Torah by Rabbi Eric Goldman. Rabbi Eric Goldman has a shiur on YU Torah called A Torah Hashkafa on Facebook, Texting, and Blogging. Good shiur, I recommend listening to it. That's that topic more. And that's a topic of that for some reason in a sick way, I need to know everything you're doing, you need to know everything I'm doing. But when I'm talking about connection, I'm talking about it in the positive way. I care about you. I don't have time to have a long discussion, but a quick hello, quick connection. Then there is a third kind of texting, I would say, and that is what I call, I use the word, a transformation. This is the kind of text that is what the world calls heart-to-heart conversations. In modern Hebrew, it's called a sichat nefesh or a sachnash. These are long, interactive, lengthy texts back and forth that are supposed to transform the relationship from one level to another. And again, there are examples in Torah. Tefillah is supposed to create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah, tefillah, and Torah as well. Rabbi Soloveitchik has the well-known saying that he says that when I daven, I speak to God, and that when I learn Torah, He speaks to me. Tefillah is a long, healthy, beautiful discussion, a relationship. Aliyah LaRegel is supposed to transform the relationship with God. You don't just walk in, bring a korban, and leave. The halacha is on the shalosh regalim, and according to some rishonim, every time you bring a korban, you have to sleep over in Yerushalayim. Because you go, you bring your korban, you sleep over, you discuss how did it go, how did it, beautiful experience, connection to God, connection to Yerushalayim, connection to the Mikdash. And that these discussions sometimes take the form of, quote, I am sorry that we had a fight last night, it's just that sometimes I feel like I don't appreciate what kinds of pressure that I'm under, dot, 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 dot. Long texting back and forth. Another example is, I don't think we should see each other anymore, because, dot, 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 dot. That transforms the relationship in the negative direction, I would imagine. These kinds of texts, as I said, are longer, and they really are supposed to transform the relationship to a higher level. And so what we have here is we have three kinds of texts. And I think if we keep these three kinds in mind, it'll help us gather and gain an appreciation for the impact that texting has had on our lives. When is it positively used, and when, if possible, is it negatively used? I think that every text we send falls into one of these categories, and the relationships between the way people date, the way people communicate with people they care about and love, fall into these categories. I suggest the following. I suggest that there are some problems that arise with texting. First of all, it's important to state that certain kinds of texting can be positive, other kinds can be negative. I know it sounds sort of obvious in our world where we are, and many of the hashkafa that many of us come from, we know that the world can have a very positive impact on our lives. We also know it can be negative. And you have to know when and where to look. So I think it's important to state that. Another important point, I think, is that problems arise when one person or the other is unaware as to which kind of texting is taking place, or when the lines get blurred between one kind of text or another. And if, on the other hand, the two parties are aware of the nature and the purposes of their exchanges, perhaps technology can be harnessed to improve relationships. Texting can be good, texting can be bad. The trick is to make sure that you know the kind of texting that you're engaging in at any given moment, and the other side knows as well. If you both know and you both understand what you're doing and trying to do, texting can be a beautiful way to accelerate a relationship. If you don't know, it can be a terrible way to turn it negative, unfortunately. So, my proposal, if we say that there are three kinds of texting, and if we say that there are some texts that are good and some texts that are bad, as long as we know which are which, my recommendation, and I have some examples that I'd like to share with you, my recommendation is, first of all, the information kind of texts can be great. They can be great. They can be quick, to the point. They are a quick way to get information. Sometimes we're busy, sometimes we're in a meeting, sometimes we're talking to somebody. We don't have a lot of time. It can be quick, in and out. The trick is to make sure that you both know that's what you're doing. And I'll give some examples of some mistakes. I would also suggest that connection forms of texting, you have to proceed with caution. Because on the one hand, connecting with somebody through a text can be beautiful. More than beautiful. It can be very special. It can be a quick saying to somebody that you're very serious about in a relationship, saying to your parents, saying to, I have a son in the army now, who's in Hebron, actually. He and everyone and the three boys and everyone looking for them, Mitzvah Hashem, should return safely, Mitzvah Hashem. So my son, I don't know when he has a cell phone and when he's allowed to use it, but I'm able, my wife also, we do it through WhatsApp, a quick, especially when I'm in America, a quick, how's it going? Now, I don't know when he's going to get it, but whenever he's able to turn on the phone, oh, my parents were thinking of me. It can be very special. Connection can be great. Unfortunately, on the other hand, connection, when you use connecting conversations in the wrong way, it can be negative and can lead to negative things. And that's where I'm going to give some examples in a little bit, but let me just talk in theory for a moment. Number one, it can be very oppressive. You can be very much on top of a person. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, that's beginning the relationship, we sometimes see that in Israel. Sometimes we see in Israel where parents think that they are very connected to their children, when in reality, the real deep connections are not occurring. That's one, and I'll give you a few examples in a moment. Another problem or potential problem in the connecting kind of texts is the, and I'm thinking again specifically, the official title of the talk was Relationships and Texting of Youth from Israel. So a lot of my experience comes from Israel, either watching students date or parent-child relationships. And we see sometimes where parents are so on top of their children in the connecting form that it goes beyond, and it's parents do not always let their children cope for themselves, make decisions for themselves. I've gotten a text, it was this year, I got a phone call from a parent whose daughter texted her that she didn't get a laundry bag. We provide laundry in our school, so you get a certain kind of bag, a net bag. So her daughter, who was 20 feet away from me, didn't get a laundry bag. She texted her mother called me. Now, I'm happy to help, and I'm happy to make sure that she gets a laundry bag. But as far as a developmental discussion is concerned, it would probably be why, and the mother was right on top of it, because they were able to connect through texting. But didn't give the daughter an opportunity to learn how to come to me, and really wasn't even me particularly, go to the Ein Bayit, how do I get a laundry bag, and cope and deal like that. I have a few other examples. I'll come back to the specific examples in a minute. And then there is the transformation kinds of text, which I think you can imagine. I think you would too, strongly recommend against using texting to have these sichot nefesh, to have this really heart-to-heart discussion. That is better in person. It's not always possible in person. Phone is better than texting. But texting can really cause problems, and we'll see why in a moment. So once again, we say that texting can be great. And we also say that texting can be terrible. The question is, when and how do you use it? And the danger occurs when you think you're engaging in one kind of text exchange, when in reality you're engaged in another kind of texting exchange. And let me give you a few examples perhaps that might help. First of all, in the world of dating. I bet there are people in the room who are better experts than me on problems that can arise from dating, but again, I'd like to put my finger on where the problem comes from. Any form of texting can be good or bad, but when one side thinks that they're engaging in one kind of conversation and the other side is thinking of another, problems can occur. Dating. Early on, for example, a guy and a girl have dated, let's say, 3 times, and he decides to text her, and he says, "How's it going?" And she says, "Fine." And he goes to his dorm room and starts crying to his roommates. She said, "Fine." She didn't say "fine" exclamation points. She didn't say "fine" smiley face. She didn't say "fine" Baruch Hashem exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation points. So maybe she's upset at me. Maybe she, you know what? Maybe she's not really as into it as I thought she was. The truth of the matter is, I'm not so much into this either. She's not that special anyway. Who does she think she is? She thinks that she can write back "fine"? Oh yeah, I'll give you a fine. Out of nowhere, literally nowhere, the whole thing explodes. So if we could put our finger on it, I think what happened is that he was saying, "How are you?" He was trying to connect to her. I'm in the middle of chemistry. I'm not suggesting that you text during class. I'm in the middle between classes, and I'm thinking of you. How are you? How's it going? But she perhaps understood it to mean everything's fine. And then he all of a sudden switched and said, "Wait a second." And he doesn't do this on purpose, doesn't do this consciously. Is she sending me a connection text, or is she sending me a relationship text? He read it as a transformation text. Well, if she had written "fine" with 17 exclamation points, wow, that really says something. We're really transforming the relationship here. He just wanted to say hello, or she just wanted to say "fine," and it just propels and it goes out of off kilter and really in a direction that nobody ever thought that it should go. Sometimes one person will want to have a deep relationship, a text, a transformational text, and the other person should say, "Let me call you." Not bad, not good, but I want to stop the texting at where it was supposed to end and continue in a better way. There are other examples where texting can be great and texting can be not great. Teachers and students is a perfect example. Where texting can be outstanding. Is it really easy to say, "How are you? How's it going?" Sometimes we'll get a text. I know in Israel, for example, we'll get a text sometimes, "Is this kosher?" and they'll send us a picture of the symbol on the food. It's very easy, very quick, very nice. Sometimes it gets longer than that. Some of you are familiar with something called Shoot SMS. It's called She'elot U'tshuvot through SMS. I'm running quickly out of time, so I'll say it very briefly. Rav Yuval Shurlo, who's Rosh Yeshiva of Petach Tikva, and Rav Avineir, Rosh Yeshiva, head of Beit El, Rosh Yeshiva of Atzeret Kohanim, started many years ago a system where you can text She'elot U'tshuvot to great Rabbanim and get answers back. Now, some of us are horrified by that, and some of us are amazed by that. I actually had a conversation with Rav Shurlo about 3 years ago exactly about this, and I asked him the question that everybody asks. How do you have a deep, meaningful she'ela u'tshuva on text? And I still maintain that if you have a transformational kind of text that you want to send to your Rav or teacher, don't do it by text. Do it by phone. You'll see these shoots, these she'elot u'tshuvot are published. And you'll see sometimes, you know, my brother is sick. Why does God do this to my brother? That is a powerful, important question that should not be written in a text. But Rav Shurlo said to me two things. He said, first of all, and this was 3 years ago, that they had received 100,000 SMSs, questions. So number one, it's an unprecedented amount of connection that you have with teachers and Rebbeim. So I think that would go into the connection level. Great, beautiful. That part of it's really good. Number two, he said, that we get information, the Rabbanim, how many Rabbanim get 100,000 questions? Some Rabbanim feel that they get 100,000, but they really get 100,000. Their finger is on the pulse of what the community is looking for and needs. So again, it can be great, depending on how it's used and when it's used, as long as everybody is aware of the kinds of conversations that are going on. And one last example is parents and children. Again, all these you can imagine fall into the same category. And I mentioned the example before about what happens when parents can connect to their children. And it is beautiful. It's beautiful when it's used in the proper way and when both people know how it's going. Parents will know sometimes exactly when their daughter or son in Israel are doing their laundry. They'll know immediately how lunch was. They'll know immediately how lunch was. They will not know whether that shear that they went to 3 days ago transformed them or not. I'm going to tell a fast story with time running out quickly. I want to tell a fast story, but I'm admitting that I'm changing some of the details because I just make sure, I don't know who's going to be listening to this. I am changing some of the details. But many years ago, our school went on a tiyul. We go on tiyulim all the time. We went on one tiyul, and the tiyul turned bad for a short time. I'll leave out some of the details. A little bit of rain, a lot of rain, darkness. Maybe some people, we were afraid of people were going to get lost. Now, if that to you, and let me tell you the end of the story. If that to you happened 30 years ago, I'll tell you how the end of the story would have happened. And it did this way. That what happened was, we got everybody together. I was on the tiyul also, tour guide, a shomer, got everybody together. It turns out that this tiyul was the most powerful experience of the year. Because there was singing and dancing in the Purim. Is that me? Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm done anyway.
There you go.
Okay. The most powerful experience of the year. Singing, dancing, muddy, soaked to the bone, cold. But how do you say gibush in English? Like a unifying, team building, the greatest. That all is true. If this story had happened 30 years ago, then we would have gone through that experience. I would have gotten back to my dorm, showered, changed, written a letter to my parents. What an amazing tiyul we had. I really am done. In this example, there were two girls in the middle of the situation who texted their parents something to the effect of, "I love you, goodbye." "I love you, goodbye." And one texted her sister, Mazal Tov, something like Mazal Tov on getting accepted to high school. "Unfortunately, I will not be alive for your graduation." And I changed some of the details, but the impact is there. And so you can imagine the kind of messages that I received. Now, we're not Soviet Union over here. We're not going to tell people not to text. But you understand what happened. that here we have, instead of spending the time to think about how it went, slowly understanding the experience, we had a text that became a transformational text that really could have been a connection text or information text or no text at all. And so my suggestion, in whatever relationships you have, and everyone in the room here has relationships, Emir Tashem, with parents, with children, with boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, use texting. But use it wisely, understand where it's coming from, understand every single text you send. What kind of text am I sending? What kind of text am I receiving? And when in doubt, pick up the phone, don't type the text in. We should be zocha to beautiful relationships with our children and everyone we love.